Hi, this is Linda Rax with Our Life in the Trinity, and I wanted to bring a message for June 26th of 2022. And our passage today is Luke 9, 51 to 62. I'd like to read that in the New American Standard Bible, then we'll say a brief prayer. We will talk about our passage. And then we will end with a communion and a benediction. So, in Luke 9, 51 to 62, and this is in the New American Standard Bible, you can use your own translation, it says this: "When the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead of him, and they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him. But they did not receive him, because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw this, they said, 'Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?' But he turned and rebuked them and said, 'You do not know what kind of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.' And they went on to another village. And as they were going along the road, someone said to him, 'I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said, 'The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' And he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father.' But he said to him, 'Allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God.' Another also said, 'I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home.' But Jesus said to him, 'No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" Will you join me in prayer for a moment? Father, thank you that we can hear from you through Jesus and the Spirit. What are these words of life that you have for us today? Heavenly Spirit, awaken us to a deeper understanding of the Word of God and what it means for us, what your calling is upon our lives, and what it means to follow Jesus, and enable us to be awakened to faith in Christ, to be willing to lay it all down as He laid it all down for us. In His name we pray. Amen. You know, I was originally writing this sermon blog right when a big thunderstorm came up, and it was booming and crashing, and the rain started coming down with small pellets of hail, and there it wasn't coming straight down, it was coming sideways. So you knew the wind was blowing pretty strongly. And I thought it was ironic because the story is kind of where James and John got their name, Sons of Thunder, telling Jesus to call down fire from heaven. I was watching this on The Chosen. There's an episode where it has this whole thing where James and John want to call down fire from heaven. And so when Jesus finally calls them on it, they're like, "Well, it didn't sound that bad when we said it." It's you'll have to see it for yourself. But anyway, I think, though, it really speaks to how we respond as human beings to personal insults or rejection or even people's incompetence. And how do we respond to personal attacks? I mean, what is God's point of view on this? Well, I believe Jesus really speaks to what it is he came for. And that is our normal response is not what God created us for. It's not how he meant us to respond to such things. What's interesting in the text that we just got done reading is the little piece where it says Jesus said, "You do not know what spirit you are of." That's actually not in the original manuscript or the original script. But it speaks, though, very clearly to what Paul, the Apostle Paul, says in Galatians. One of the readings for today is this passage, and it's in Galatians 5. It starts out with verse 1. "It was for freedom that Christ set us free." So Christ set us free, wants us to live in freedom. What does freedom mean? Does that mean you do whatever you want? No, it's a freedom to not be slaves to evil and sin and death, but free to be who we really are, to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. It says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." In verse 13, then, it continues, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." So he's contrasting two ways of being. The first is following our flesh and doing what comes naturally to us. It's not what we were created for, but it's what we tend to fall into, that way of being. We can do that, or we can, through love, serve one another. Which way did Jesus take? Well, we see Jesus laying down his life through love, serving all of humanity on the cross, being willing to go all the way to the grave for our sake, to bring us to be with him in the presence of the Father forever. So we see a whole different way in Jesus. He talks about how the law is fulfilled in that one statement, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And he says, "Be careful if you bite and devour one another, you know, you're going to end up being consumed by one another." So he's really going down that path of going about it that way, calling down fire from heaven, is not God's way of responding, right? So he, in verse 16 of chapter 5 in Galatians, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Why is that? The Spirit, that's Christ in you and Christ in me. Christ living in us. We walk, we follow Christ, we walk in the Spirit, and we won't do the other, right? We won't do the things of the flesh that come and that go, that are oppositional to what is true and holy and right and what we were created for. So he says in 17, "The flesh sets its desire against the Spirit against the flesh. They're in opposition to one another, so you don't do the things that you please." So the Spirit is Christ in us, giving us the heart, the mind, the desire to do what is what we were created to do, to in love serve one another, to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and being, and love our neighbor as ourselves. That's who we are, our identity, and the Spirit enables us to do and be that because of Christ. He says, if you are in verse 18 of chapter 5 in Galatians, "If you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then he talks about, here's the contrast between the two that I was telling you about. In verse 19, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are, and he makes a list, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like this. And he goes on to say that people who practice these as an everyday thing in their life will not inherit the kingdom of God. What does he mean by that? Well, what is the kingdom of God? That is God's rule in human hearts. That is God's way of being. God's way of being is love. Father, Son, and Spirit live in love. They always have. They always will. And they created us to be a part of that, to live in love. Other-centeredness, making room for one another, serving one another, mutual submission, self-sacrifice. These are all the way of being of people in the kingdom of God. That's just the way it is. And so we were created for that. And when we live in these other ways, we're not being true to who we are. So what does it look like to live in the kingdom of God? What were we created to do? Well, he goes on in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit, this comes from Christ living his life in and through us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So why is there no law? What would the need be for it? Because we're being who God said we were. We're being who we were created to be. We're living in union and communion with the Father, Son, and Spirit, because that's how they live. That's their nature. So that is what we're created for. And Christ gives us that through his life, death, resurrection, ascension, and in the sending of the Spirit, the fire of God's love that work in our hearts, right? So he says in Galatians 5:24, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. But we acknowledge that we died with Christ. We rose with Christ. We share in his glory by the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. See, our new life is in Christ. We have that new life in Christ by the Spirit. Our life in relationship with God is a participation in Jesus' relationship with his Father by the Spirit. So because that's true, we walk by the Spirit. That means we walk in the truth of who we are in Christ. And it's the Spirit, the fire from God, cleansing our hearts and minds, bringing us into relationship with the Father in Jesus. That is how we walk, how we live our life. The things we do, the choices we make, we do in Christ by the Spirit, yes. So having looked at that, you think about James and John wanting to call down fire from heaven because these people did not give the Messiah a place to stay that night. Which way was Jesus calling them to? Their response, call down fire from heaven and eliminate him. Jesus' response is, okay, let's just take the gospel to a different city. Let's go. It was not an issue for him. Because, we're free to say no to him, but he doesn't want us to. But there are times when, you simply have to move on and not take things in the way that we would normally take them. The disciples' response was, call down fire from heaven, eliminate him. What was Jesus? Come on, let's go. We got more work to do. We got the kingdom of God to take care of. Let's go. And then he begins this conversation with his disciples about the cost of discipleship and whether or not we're willing to pay it. He begins to talk, and he gives three different ways in which people encountered him and had the opportunity and the call to follow him, and what their response was. And we need to think about this and ask ourselves, you know, Jesus is calling you and me to follow him. To follow him means we live the way he lives. We do things the way he does things. We walk in the Spirit. That means we walk in Christ in his ways. We follow him. But there's a cost to that. And sometimes we don't want to pay the cost. We'd rather just, you know, do the call down fire from heaven thing and move on. But Jesus says there is a cost sometimes. He wanted to stay in this place in Samaria, and they wouldn't give him a place to live. So the first person where Jesus is inviting them to follow him, he says, "I'll follow you anywhere, Jesus." Now, for some of us, that is our response. We're happy to tell Jesus, you know, "I'll be a Christian. I'll get baptized. I'll, you know, go to church. I'll be a good Christian. I'll follow you anywhere, Jesus." But Jesus asked this man, what if that means rejection? What if that means homelessness? I mean, he didn't have a place to stay for the night. He knew what it was like to not have a place to live. You know, what if it meant financial struggle where, you know, they didn't have food to eat sometimes? His disciples had to grab stalks of grain and grab grain off of it because they didn't have food. I mean, what about that? So Jesus understood those circumstances, and he said, "Are you willing to follow me where, no matter the cost? Are you really, truly willing to follow?" And that's hard. That is really hard when life gets like that. There was a second person, you know, where he invites him to follow him, and he says, "Hey, you know, let me go bury my father first." Now, in those days, to bury your father meant not only to put it, generally you'd put him immediately in the grave, but then you'd wait a year and take the bones out and move them into a special place. I don't know, it was their way of doing things. And so, was he kind of asking for a year off before he followed Jesus? You know, was he just giving a, you know, a reason he didn't want to go? See, sometimes we can give these incredible excuses for not simply following Jesus and doing things exactly as he says. We want to be able to continue to dictate how things go and how our circumstances are, don't we? We want to be able to tell Jesus, "I'll do this, but I won't do that." And Jesus is saying to us, you know, you need to leave behind all these elaborate excuses why you can't simply follow me, why you can't simply live in the truth of who you are as my very own. So we need to leave all those elaborate excuses before, all these reasons why we can't do things the way Jesus says to do things. See, he is the Lord of all, and it might be good if we live as though that were true. And that is a struggle. That is a calling. That is follow me, no matter the cost. And that's a challenge. But thankfully, it's Christ's life in us who gets us to that place. Christ lives in us by the Spirit. He can enable us to get beyond that. But One more person that Jesus brings up in this passage is the one who says to him, "Well, I want to follow you, but first let me go home and say goodbye to my family." Now, if you read in the Old Testament, there is a story where Elijah calls Elisha to follow him. And Elisha says, let me say goodbye to my family first. He's out plowing with 12 oxen in the field behind a plow. And he wanted to finish that up and then go say goodbye, you know, he was going to sacrifice one of the oxen so that his family could eat, you know, and then leave. Now, Elijah was okay with that, but Jesus is asking for a more radical commitment than that. He wants something more than that. And so he says, you know, once you put your hand to the plow, when you turn around, you can't turn around and look somewhere else. You got to keep facing forward. You got to keep moving forward. You know, today, nowadays, we don't use plows like they did back then. Back when my husband was farming, he used something that had several tines on it and pulled it behind a tractor and did a whole bunch of rows at once. Well, this is different. This is like a single plow or a double plow. And the thing is you've got to keep your mind on where you're going. You've got to keep going, looking forward, because you look to the side and pretty soon your plow will be going this way or this way and your rows will not be straight. Your harvest will not be as good. It will be a mess. So you got to keep focused forward. And this is what Jesus says. Seek the kingdom first and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's what he said. You know, keep the kingdom of God first. Keep Jesus central. Keep focused on him. Why? Because he is our life. He is our life. And he is the one who lived the life we need to live. He's the one who holds us in the midst of whatever we're going through. And no matter the cost to ourselves, he will carry us through. And the truth is, the Spirit's indwelling, the Spirit he sent to us, is his life in us. It's him living his life in and through us. And he seeks to express his life through us. That's the Spirit. What Spirit is trying to do is manifest Christ anywhere he possibly can. And we can get on board with that and be cooperative and open and not only receptive to the Spirit, but diligent in sharing Christ's life and love with others, in love, serving one another. And Jesus calls us to abandon all of the old ways. You know, don't look back, don't look behind, go forward, embrace your life in Christ, leave behind what was, and go far into what is. Live in the freedom that is yours in Christ. You know, be on fire with Christ. Be filled with his life. Let him live his life through you. And that means, you know, in moment by moment, you're in conversation with God and you're drawing upon his strength and his power. You're releasing all control to him. You're allowing him to dictate how things are and what it is that your life is going to be. You let him be who he is, and he will form you and grow you into all he meant for you to be. It's a journey, and it's hard, and there's a cost to it sometimes. Sometimes we have to leave behind something we'd like to hang on to. But he always does it out of love. It's God's way, is love. He does not want to keep you from learning the lessons you need to learn. No, he wants you to grow and to develop and to become the best that he had, all that he meant you to be. So we come weekly and we take communion together. And we like to rehearse the or affirm the fundamentals of our faith. We died with Christ. We rose with Christ. We share in his glory now and forever by the Spirit. Let's take a moment in prayer, if we could. Heavenly Father, we come again today and offer ourselves fully up to you. We acknowledge our weakness, our failures, our shortcomings, and how often we want to call down fire from heaven to annihilate anyone or anything that stands in our way. But you're gracious and kind. Remove from us any heart or spirit that's not yours and fill us up with Christ. Heavenly Spirit, let Christ be manifest in and through us in all we think, say, and do. For your glory, Father. And we ask this all as we take these elements in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus offered the bread that night he was betrayed. He said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Jesus, we receive your body for our body. Thank you, Jesus. And he offered a cup of fruit of the vine. So this is my blood poured out for you, the life of Christ for our life. Thank you, Jesus. Now may our Father, who gives us all eternal life through Jesus, our Lord, and by the Spirit, bless you, keep you, make his face to shine on you, and give you his peace. We pray this in his name. Amen. I hope you all have a great week.